Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The game could have got rid of me, you know, if I didn't have this kind of determination and self, like, and support. You know, I've got, like, I've had people that have really been on my side. Like, I think I always say to people, like, especially when I see, a man or a black man on TV or a black sister or whatever, I smile to myself because I'm like, you don't even know what that person's had to get through.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Balancing Acts. In this conversation, I talk to comedian, actor and writer KG the Comedian. Perfect. Hello, I'm Steve Whiteley and welcome to Balancing Acts, a series of conversations with an array of creatives. We talk about their journey, the struggles they faced whilst progressing their career, strategies they use to unlock their creativity, how they balance their career with their personal lives, what impact this has had on their mental health, and lots more. To many, KG is best known as Shadrack, his YouTube sensation that he created with fellow comedian Marston, but he has done loads as an actor. He starred in Famalam, King Gary, Ted Lasso, Slice, Time Wasters. I could go on. He was also recently featured in Mo Gilligan's documentary Black, British and Funny. As a stand-up comedian, he's performed the likes of the Glee Club, O2 Indigo Arena, Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. Remember, if you like this episode, if you like Balancing Acts, please do rate and review it on Apple. That would be much as appreciated. And do sign up to my newsletter, Steve Whiteley, WHITELEY.co. And you can be kept up to date with not only podcast news, but all other shenanigans that I'm up to at the moment. And now over to KG. Perfect.
You've done so much. And it's what I really liked is when you set up on your YouTube channel, you've done the trailer video
and you
purposely say, you may know me from this and this. And it's so interesting, isn't it? When you've done so many different things, you pick up fans or audiences along the way from those different things. So someone might just know you from, you know, one particular, they might know you as Shadrack, you know?
Yeah.
And then you progress and then you do all these different things. And so I didn't know you were doing this or this. So I really like the fact that you, in this video, say, you may know me from this, but however, I'm also an actor, et cetera.
Yeah. You know what's so funny about that? Yeah. Is because I was working with someone for about at least 8-9 months.
Okay.
And we're just talking, doing, was on a job, we're talking and stuff. And then, like, some time after, they was like, hey, there's some funny video. Like, the guy proper looks like you. Like, he's on skates and that. I'm like, he goes, yeah, like, it's mad. Like, back in the day, like, used to watch it all the time. Guns and Pork, like. And I'm like, yeah, it's me. He goes, wait, what?
Really?
I was like, well, yeah. And it happens all the time. Like, my whole career has looked like I'll do. So they have that moment of the penny drops. And like, oh, bro, you're Shadrack. And then after we have this other thing. But then in all, like, even if I do, I'll do stand-up. And I haven't gone out there and said, in my warm-up, or when you hear me before I get on stage, I'm not going to be like, also known as Shadrack. Also, I just get on stage. You know what I mean? I get on stage, tell my jokes, and it's not even Shadrack-related jokes or any of my other, like big like viral moment jokes. It's literally just me giving me on the stage, and it's until after they're like, wait, I swear that's, wait, he tells jokes as well. So I knew that it was so important because I see people see me as so many characters. Like, remember EastEnders? Is that guy Beppe DeMarco? I don't know who he is, but in my mind, he's Beppe.
He's Beppe.
He's
yeah.
probably done. Yeah. He's probably done loads of jobs.
Yeah.
But to me, goatee Beppe DeMarco, and people people try to place me to like at least one because that's how people know people. They try to place me to one of my characters. I'm like, listen, I think I've been everybody now. So, yeah. And they're all here because I've never had control of my content. It's been everywhere else. Because we came up when I didn't really understand YouTube. So everyone else posted it.
Yeah, now you've got somewhere to house everything. I mean, I look at Guns and Pork and I think you guys, you were way ahead of your time. If that came out now, I mean, first of all, it's a certified banger. It's actually a banger. The tune is just, the beat is hard.
Yeah,
if that
yeah.
came out now, you know, I think that would have blown.
It would have, oh man. And you know what's so funny about Guns and Pork is when it was happening, we didn't really realize what was going on or what right. this was going to be. You know, I remember getting the first, like, I remember putting it up, yeah, like on YouTube. And this is before everyone had like smartphones on them, like they could just get, like, click. Remember, we had the BlackBerry. So getting on YouTube on your phone was a madness. Yeah. So, like, it wasn't worth it. Wait to get home. So you uploaded this thing and then it's got, I don't understand. It's like, now it's got 500 views. We're like, oh my days, 500 views. Like, we're getting, like, it's just imagine uploading something and then literally going. Like, and once they're going, you got 500, then it's 1,000. Then we're like, wait, what the hell's going on? And it just wouldn't stop, you know? And we're like, and again, this is before all of this stuff. So, but then there's people like in America, Lonely Island, and all these other things that are out where they were a bit ahead of the curve when it came to comedy, music, and these kind of things. It's not something new to them, but I don't think it's ever been done here in that way with people that are like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
from the estates. Do you know what I mean? So
I mean, it's only started to happen the last few years with Big Shaq.
Yeah, exactly. So cool. But I think they had to realize that they just made mistakes with, they didn't know what to do with us. That was the honest truth. I think, like,
when you say they, who exactly are you referring
to? So I'm talking to whoever makes decisions on TV.
Okay.
You know, BBC, Channel 4, Sky, all of the channels, bro.
Yeah.
They didn't know what to do with us. It was like, they just never asked any questions. It was like, oh, can you do this? So we'd have these little moments, cameo moments. We went to the Mobile Awards and was doing something there.
That was sick. Was Alicia Dixon in on that?
Oh yeah. But she's good. She didn't know how hard it was gonna go.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. So there was like we went for a warm-up. we turned up at the Mobiles, yeah. And remember, this is before any representation, like we're literally representing ourselves.
Yeah.
Some shade, I want to say shady contract signing, yeah. But you know when you're signing a release form, yeah, with a fur jacket on and bare chest? It just doesn't feel like the way to sign contracts, innit? But that's what we was doing back then. Anyway, we've got there. I can't remember where it was in Scotland or I can't remember where it was. Where was it? Anyway, that's not important. Got there, Ireland. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, here's Alicia. Play the song. And was like, yeah, we're just going to gyrate around you and stuff. Like, but we didn't go hard. When it started, we was like, we was all over it. She was brilliant though, because the way she played it, fantastic. But that was a big moment for us, you know, because we've grown up watching the Mobos. So being there, we was like, okay, people are finally gonna understand now. If you didn't understand Guns and Pork, that's okay.
Mm.
You should have understood it because look how many people watched it. But after the Mobos, guaranteed we're gonna be in some kind of development deal. No. You know what I mean? it wasn't the case. So that's when I say they didn't understand. I think we were just doing things that no one's done, you know? So it was like...
Was it disheartening? You know, when you are doing these things and they are all, you know, they're all having an effect, they're having an impact. People are watching, you can see in the comments and the views, etc. But you're not quite breaking through to what you might perceive to be a mainstream.
Definitely. Do you know what it was? It was like, we was backstage and then we saw Boyz II Men. Yeah. And there was like, I'm not going to do the American accent yet, but they're like, you guys got that chicken, joint. That chicken song joint, you know what I mean? That No Chicken song. Wow. So people, and that's Boyz II Men.
Yeah.
They knew, you know, it's a song about chicken. It's an R&B love song about chicken, about not having it. And they know it. And even all through the crowd, everyone knows who we are, you know? So, of course, like, we're there and literally you're seeing everyone in the game, everyone in entertainment know who we are. So it's like we're finally amongst them. And they were, the way they greeted us was like, yeah, you lot are meant to be here type vibe. So in our heads was like, okay, it's just, these lot going to realize now and then let's go. Well, no, because as soon as it finished, I'll never forget it. They paid for like our train ticket. I always laugh. Me and Marston laugh about this today. They paid for our train ticket, but that's all they paid for. So we got back to Houston. And then we had to get on buses with our fur jackets, bro. So if you ever would, we didn't have the money, it was in our bags and stuff. But you need to understand how it was like, we was just on the red carpet the other day. Yeah. We've taken a train back to Houston and now we're on the bus. We're on a one, and it's a long bus ride, like back to South. You know what I mean? And in that time, it's just, I think it's just almost, we always had those realizations of where we were, you know, and that bus ride was long enough to say, Rob, because someone came on and was like, Rob, I swear you, man, I was on mobiles yesterday. What are you doing on the bus? I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, so, no, bro, you must be mistaken. Someone else.
So, yeah, no, we just kept it real. We just started laughing and said, yeah, bro, this is the game, innit? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But it's a great, it's a great question. You know what I mean? We should have got dropped to our homes at least. Do you know what I mean? There should have been like I don't even know if Addison Lee was, there's got to be some cab company that could have taken us home. Bro, after that, you know what I mean? So when disheartening, I think it's, all these things has helped in terms of humility.
Okay.
Humility for one. And I think it's actually, I didn't like it, but it was character building, you know, the way we went pushed out, we could have, I don't know if I'd be the person I am or would have had the respect for the work that you need to do because our rise was ridiculous. Literally, dropped to video straight to the top, you know? And when it happens like that, there's an expectation of this is how it's meant to be. This is how everything goes. And luckily, the game has changed now that maybe you can have that moment, but you don't want to fizzle out. I've been doing this for a strong 10 years, and it hasn't been simple at all, you know? But then the character, I'm ready now for it, you know? Before I wasn't ready, like, I think I would have been gassed. You know, now it's like, I know this industry's not real. Yeah, that's the first thing to quickly learn. It's not real.
When you say it's not real, what do you mean by that?
It's like, there's, for instance, how do you break it down now? Like, no one cares, innit? Everyone's trying to sell something. Mm-hmm. Everyone, yeah? Like, you've got your podcast. I have my podcast. There's millions of podcasts in the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's like, unless we can do something for each other, I don't care about what you're doing, you know, because you know, you put a video out and you might be on low, like, and it's like, it's not helping anyone. I'm still got the same talent. It's not like I've changed.
Mm-hmm.
All the things about me still remain true, but I'm not hot. So nobody wants to be involved in something that's not hot.
Yeah.
On when you have a moment And all of a sudden, everyone wants to, you know, everyone comes for the party. But on that graphing, so if you're out of the limelight, nobody gives a shit in it, yeah? And it's good to learn that because you think everyone's, you go to all these industry things and you think, oh, these are all my mates and that. No, they're not. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you're only in there because you've had a moment. The game, it's the game. Everyone's selling something. If you can help me, dope. Now, I do think that in this game, you might meet some genuine people along the way. And that's it. You know, like, you might pick up 4, 5, 6, you know, but it's what can you do for me, innit? You know? And I think if you realize that's the game, though, that's it. You know, you're in the entertainment business, you know, and literally everyone's trying, because you've seen the journey. Now, I play it, when I do, how I like to approach it is different. You know, I've seen that people don't care, but then I will, if someone wants advice, like, I'm not afraid of competition is what I'm trying to say. It's like, I won't see an upstarter and say, oh, you're going to take my space.
Sure.
And that happens a lot. There's a little, like, someone's looking, oh, damn, these guys have arrived. And it's like, well, we're talking about the internet. There's mad people in the world. Mm-hmm. And I'm best at me. I'm the best at being me. And it's cool. Do you? It's great that you're here, you know, but not everyone feels that way. So I would still, may lender, you know what, you can do this, you can do this. Try to tell people what I did wrong. So you can do, like, work out earlier. But I think because no one's cares and no one's helped, people are quite bitter along the way to share the information. Because, like, well, no one helped me. So why the hell am I helping you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it, you can't, we obviously, we can't be like that. So literally, when I have little writing things, I'll try to bring my boys in. Like, I'm like, yo, he's sick. If the writer talks to me, I'm like, he's talented. Like, let him in. You know? I think those things, hopefully the game is changing. I haven't seen a change so far yet. I think it's very selfish. Yes, it's mad. When I, like, and it's that funny thing about when I say no one cares, it feels, because I know there's probably people in the game that are like, I don't care about you, KG. Cool. Yeah, I mean, but, like, I took long. Just how, imagine, I was in the game for, like, 8 years, yeah? I had no agent. And then I'll be talking to people. I'm like, raw, like, we keep signing contracts on cars, like, on top of cars, like, and I don't even know what's going on this release, like, on what I'm letting go. I need someone to represent me. And I'll be talking to people with agents, and they'll be like, yeah, bro, like, you just got to find one, innit? Wait, what? Like,
no one was saying, oh, I'll introduce you to this person, or let me introduce you to my agent.
Not a soul. Not a, when I say not a soul, yeah. Like, so I got my biggest TV role. I still had no agent. Like, and that's a series, you know? And it was like, but then the lady, big up to Sally, you know, I don't know if she wants me to name call, but I won't say her full name, but big up Sally, she knows who she is. Mm-hmm. She's like, I promise you, we'll finish this thing. I'll sit you down in front of everyone, you know? And that was like, I needed that, you know? And that's me having someone, I've been more looked, now I'm signed to Curtis Brown now. I'm looked after, you know? I'm not having moments where, I'm not having Houston again when I'm taking a 1-5, a 1-8-8, yeah. And a, you know, like, it's different, you know? And I think that's what I'm talking about. It's those little things. And now with, even when I talk to other people, because we'll write ideas and stuff, and then we'll get underpaid, or we'll just get robbed, basically. Yeah. You know, giving our best material away.
Yeah.
And we weren't protected. You know, so it's those, and I don't want people to make those types of mistakes. And that's why I'm heavy on ownership. That's why I create things that now is ours. Yeah. So it doesn't matter if you don't see the picture yet, or if this commissioner likes me, but this commissioner has now left and he's gone somewhere else. I'm in control of this thing, you know? Yeah, man. So
it also goes back to what we talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
You see people, you've seen people come and go, people who do really well, and then sort of they're off the scene. But there's something to be said for sort of grinding away over a period of time. And yes, obviously you would have liked those opportunities to have come sooner, but at the same time, by learning your craft, by getting better at what you do, by building your audience, you're now in a really solid place to take advantage of that.
Yeah. And you've got to be, and it's humility, yeah, is a gift, you know. Like I think it's underappreciated.
Yeah.
Humility, you know. I approach sets and everything different, you know, because of just what the jobs I've done, you know. When I get on set, I talk to everyone, you know, from the essays to the sparks, all the teams, I'm chatting to them, you know, because again, like, it's taken a long time to be here. And I appreciate everyone because I've done all sorts of jobs, you know. So I think your attitude could have been a bit different. But now me and my personality has put me in a lot of rooms. Let's say it like that. So I'd finish a job and I'm like, oh, okay, you guys. It's a cool guy, isn't it? You know what I mean? Like, I mean, there's that moment of, oh, yeah. I was talking to him. Yeah, he's a cool dude. It's not like I'm doing this to create like a moment later, but it's just niceness is free, you know? Go around, be nice to people. Find out about them. What are they doing? You know, because everyone like me, I remember I had hundreds of ideas, but no one asked me. So that person there that's holding is the runner. He's got plans and ideas that no one's asked him because no one cares yet about your ideas because you haven't done anything now. But it doesn't mean that there's not a wealth of things there. That's just an uncut, like, that's an uncut diamond or something.
Untapped gem.
You know what I mean? It's untapped gem that no one's touched. So you don't know who everyone is, what everyone's going to, and everyone has got their ability. I always say this, everyone's got a gift in it. Literally everyone, you know? And it's like, if you can be the person that gets someone going, like, or get someone to believe in, that's good. And it could serve you, or it might not. Look how we met. It's crazy. Like, we met years ago. Who would think we're sitting down here today and we're going to work together?
Yeah.
Like, we're actually, out of this, we're working together, which is insane, you know? But had I been a bastard when we met each other,
I remember when we did, what was it? The Leicester Square New Comedian of the Year thing. And you were sitting next to me. And I remember turning around to you, basically doing exactly what you said before. I go, aren't you Shadrach? That's what I said to you. Turn around and go, yeah, bruv, and what? You know, then it would be a different story. But you were, you know, you were very friendly and like, yeah. And I couldn't believe that you were doing that gig. I was just like, that was massive. You're massive. What are you doing? You know what I mean? I mean, it was a good, don't get me wrong, it was a good, good opportunity. But at the same time, I found it, I was just like, oh, wow.
But that's what I'm saying. Can you imagine? And on a bigger scale, and that's that. And that's the sad thing about the game. And when you talk about, that was almost three, what are we talking?
Four years ago.
Yeah. And that's insane for them. It's coming to 4 years because my daughter is, that was on the day my baby was born.
Because remember you saying that to me.
So my wife is in labor. For people that are watching this, my wife was in labor and I was in the finals of a comedy show. Yeah. And we met and I wasn't allowed to talk about it. So you're looking at me saying, what the hell are you doing here 4 years ago? Because you should be past this. But I had to be there, you know, because I'm thinking that this is going to be what's going to bring me into the mainstream and allow me to do more and allow for this and for that. And like,
but all the while you'd been doing the black circuit, right? Where you would have been playing big super venues. Yeah.
So they're looking, you know what's so funny? And it's the advice you get. So it's like, oh yeah, like maybe you should try and work on, you know, like I don't know if you can handle a bigger crowd. Or I've been doing a sold out O2 Indigo or like big theaters. Yeah. You know, like super theaters. And you're talking about, oh, I'm gonna give you a 5 minutes here, bro. When I started, I was doing 15s. So, but then, and it's like, on the circuit, it's almost like, no, you have to, everyone goes through it like this.
Yeah.
you better go through it like this. It was like, no, but like, I'm ready. You know, like, I don't actually need, what you're doing right now is counterproductive. Like, I can do these things, but I'm like, no, this is it. You got to go and do all these shows and all these other places. And it's very, it hasn't updated, I would say. Stand-up has been, it's still very much.
So hierarchical type thing, you know, to a set.
Yeah. It's very, I literally, a year and a bit ago, that's, I scrapped it off, bro. So I did this thing called the King Gong Show. Yeah. You got to go up and tell jokes. Remember, I'm 8-9 years deep. I've done a lot of shit. Yeah. Not even in disrespect, but I'm like, cool. Humble yourself. Let's go and try and get and do these shows. I do the first minute. If you get gonged off in a minute, you can't come back for like, you can't come back and do that show for about 4 months or something. Yeah. Did the show. Didn't get gonged, obviously. Yeah. And then if you're good, it's like, buy him a drink or something. Like, yeah, cool. Boom. I got to the final two. So now they don't tell you. You just jump in. You got to do a whole new minute of material. I've got loads of minutes. So I'm like, oh, what one should I do? What one should I do? Did my thing. Audience loved it. Like, but there's, and I don't come with a crowd or nothing. I just turn up by myself. You know, like, I know a lot of people bring people. Mm. It helps. I'm not doing that. I go to a show and I go home and make the people decide if they like me or not. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So there's no inside voters and stuff. It's me. Anyway, got to the final. The other person obviously packed it out. He had a lot of people. He was funny. I'm not going to try and take something away from this person. Anyway, it's time to leave. And owner that pulls me to the side. He goes, you're really good. I want to give you 5 minutes. I was like, oh, thanks. Cool, wicked. Gives me a 5 minutes, yeah. I kill it. And he goes, you were good, but yeah, the way you started, like, it wasn't that good. Like, it was a bit like unsure. So can you come back? This is free, by the way. All of this is free.
Mm-hmm.
Can you come back again and do like another 5 minutes? I want to test you out again. I came back on another day. Actually, I did a 10. Yeah. He goes, the main man that owns the store today wasn't in. They're going to watch your video and they're going to see how you went. And then after, we'll see how it goes from there. He said, I'm going to have to book you in for another 10 minutes. Yeah. Remember, he said, if you do it, I'll put you in the lineup. You'll be performing here week in, week out. Yeah. I'm like, all right, cool. I would like this. This would help in making it to the mainstream, being on Nevermind the Buzzcocks and all these shows. I turn up again and I do this other joke. And he's like, I do this joke about Lion King and that. And he's like, yeah, the jungle bit, the African bit at the top. I don't think people will understand that.
What?
I'm like, he goes, jeez. Do you know what we're going to do? Let's go again. Yeah. And he goes, wait, tell me who you are. Like, and this is now he's trying to understand like me and stuff. Like, and I'm like, no, like I'm doing, because you know, a lot of comedians, when they're doing this, there's not a lot going on about, like, we're all struggling. The comedy, it's a, unless you have like good like parents that are well off, it's a very tough career to jump in, because you pick up a £50 here and there and you kind of keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
That's not my story. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing shit. You just don't know who I am.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So already, like, you can't play me, because I don't need, like, not even, no disrespect, I don't actually need to be here. You know, I want to use this as a springboard into, for more eyes, but I don't need to be here. But the way you're talking to me, telling me you're not sure about me in 5-6 minutes, and can you, and the crowd love it. When I'm finished, people coming up to me, like trying to give me their, like, a lot's happening, killing it. Yeah. But you're still telling me that I'm not good enough and you don't know if I can handle a Saturday crowd. I'm like, bro, I've done the Leeds Festival, fam. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? But yeah, so I saw, fuck it. Excuse my language. I don't know if you're allowed to swear on this.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, go for it.
I was like, F this shit. You are vile. Like, I've been in this game now for a long enough time. You're taking the piss. And that bit about the jungle African language, he said the jungle language at the top. I said,
is this the guy who owns the club? This is, or is it just
that? It's a, He's a part of the club. Old guy, he's taking the piss. Another guy that he didn't say nothing as well. Yeah. So it's not good enough. Like, it's like you lot can do one.
So was it a multitude of having those type of experiences that made you come to the conclusion like, I'm done with stand-up? Or was it more a combination of that, but also you being pulled into other areas and you think this is where the momentum is, so I'm going to go here?
No, the funny thing is, and I haven't stopped stand-up. Do you know what I mean? Okay. Obviously, we had the COVID, we had the breakdown and stuff. I'm just done with doing it how they want to do it.
Yeah, fine.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's not the route anyway. Mm. Let's be honest. I've watched people do things like, let's look at Mo, for instance. Yeah? Mo used to be doing the same shows that I, like, winning all these competitions. And as soon as I know when he turns, anytime anyone from my scene, the Black Circuit, turns up on these places, like, because we've been performing for so long and doing all these, we've been tested, innit? Like, battle tested, like, and hard shows.
Yeah.
Like, mate, I dare you, like, in audiences, like, I dare you to make me laugh. Go on, make me laugh now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We played those shows for years. So, there's things that we've learned that we're further ahead of the curve in terms of stage presence, I would say, is probably what we have to hone in very quickly, because you get eaten alive if you don't have that, you know?
And I guess also there's the aspect, and tell me if I'm wrong, but you adapt your material according to your audience, because the audience in the Black Circuit is different to audience on whatever you want to call it, the mainstream circuit.
Yeah.
So, because I had the opposite, where I remember my first gig I did on the Black Circuit was a gig in Tottenham.
Where
was it? It was like a social club in Tottenham or something. It was the one I was telling you about. Jeff Schumann was on and Killed.
I did
the gig, and I've got this rap about going gluten free or something, and it got some laughs, but it didn't do as well as it would have done in the other circuit. I had some of the performers on that. Some of the Black comedians came up to me. It was one in particular. He's like, "Bro, you got to adapt to your material, man. Like, they're not feeling talking about going gluten free, you know, because it was like this middle class type joke or whatever. Very white middle class specific thing, you know."
So
that was my experience doing the other way, but you were used to doing that, having like zigzag between the two.
Yeah, but you know what's so funny? I was afraid of the going onto the mainstream circuit for years.
Really?
For that reason. Yeah, I was like, they're not going to get me, you know? But it was just fear though, you know?
So when you did it, did you then adapt your material, or did you just say, no, this is me, this is me?
Because I spoke to Travis. Actually, the person I was looking at and I had so much respect for was Dane. Yeah.
Okay.
So Dane Baptiste his style of comedy is different. You know, what you'd usually see on the Black Circuit, and even Travis as well, is not usually, he was coming at jokes from a different angle. He weren't talking about what predominantly a lot of us were talking about. And when we talk about these things, it's talking about your experiences. So we'll have the people that are watching, and the people that are on stage, we're talking about stuff that you'd be like, yeah, it's true. Talking about growing up, getting to public school and being on estate. So that's where all the things are coming from now.
Yeah.
Dane was talking about other shit, but then it'd work because he's just so true to himself. You know, he's not like going there and so he'd come and say something. I think he'd done some joke about dolphins one time, and I was like, oh shit, like, all right. You know what I mean? But I just had respect for it because I'm like, because the audience will listen. It's just, how are you going to deliver it? Deliver it in a way that's going to make me laugh. You know what I mean? Like, be convinced. Like, the confidence is key. So he'd come up there and be himself. And then you have to accept it. You know what I mean? And then it, like, obviously you make a joke funny, work on the punchline, work a joke. It can get there, you know? And I learned from them, because Travis was like, listen, Kay, don't change, bro. Like, you are who you are. And the world has changed so much that people are interested in Black things. They're not like, oh, I just hang out with white people all day. Like,
Yeah.
Afro music's changed. The game is with the hope, with the YouTube space getting bigger, like what people now take in is totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen that there's a new TikTok challenge of people eating Nigerian food. Can't believe it, but it's a thing, you know? Like, so, like, now I can't turn up at a place and say they won't get me. Of course they'll get me.
Yeah.
Because luckily, even TV's changed. So you've seen a version of me before. So yeah. It's not a brand new, you know. So that's why now I'm like, when I go and do these shows, I'll be like me. Now, there is a bit of the filter that I've had to adapt and learn as well. So even like, I don't say the N-word anyway, but I will make sure that I'm not doing, like to a black crowd, I might be talking about like us black people and how we are and shit like that. Mm-hmm. In a white crowd, I wouldn't go and do that. Like, yeah. I wouldn't like, cause it's like, what are you doing? You know, you don't we can all laugh together and I can tell those jokes over here and, it kind of, but you know when he's like, oh, we looked at kind of funny anyway, and I'm doing all these like jokes about black people too. Nice. That would make that shit, you know, like almost selling out for, so amongst our people, like if I do a proper black show, like I'll be talking about how we move and this little shit that we do.
Yeah.
Over there, I'm not going to get into that like heavy because it's like, you lot like, some of you lot probably, I might be the first one you're meeting. And like, I don't want to enforce a stereotype for no reason.
Okay.
You know, you to go home thinking, oh, we're all like that. Nah, I've got responsibility. Perfect.
Hello, sorry to interrupt in the middle of this insightful conversation, which I'm enjoying, I'm sure, just as much as you are. But I need to give you guys a little reminder. If you like this conversation, this episode, if you like Balancing Acts in general, then please do subscribe to us, rate and review us, because it makes the world of difference. And the more reviews we get, the more rates we get, the more people can discover the podcast and we can make it go viral, whatever that means. Okay, back to the chat. Just to rewind a bit then, how did your experience of growing up on the Myattsfield estate in Brixton and being, you know, one of six children, how did that inform your outlook in terms of your comedy and your comedy inspiration?
That's a good question, actually. It's mad. You know what? So in the end, though, and this obviously, that's where Shadrach really comes to fruition, actually.
Yeah.
Like, we'd be on the, we're not a gang or nothing, but we'd be on the block just chilling, yeah? But the amount of mandem, that are funny, like, we just, like, the amount of guys that are funny just in that group.
Mm.
Obviously, we're probably looked at, like, oh, look at those boys, like, you know, like troublemakers and stuff.
Yeah.
But we're just sitting in the car park. There's one car park, like, in particular. We just be out there in the car park on a wall, like bantering. Yeah, but it gets to the point where, and you have to learn. So even like, we just roast each other. So we'll be out there, you know, when you watch the roast battles, oh, we're cussing each other for like at least a good four strong hours. Someone's going to get it. And you got to be on there. Like, so if it's your day to day and everyone in the group thinks it's time to cuss you, be prepared, innit? So I think in that place, it's like sparring, innit? You're there and everyone's rinsing. And it gets to a point you say to yourself, bro, there's a lot of jokes in the end. So my boy that we did Shadrach and the Mandem with, and Marston, he was on skates one time and he was chatting shit and he skated off on some greasy tip, yeah? But he can't skate. This is the thing, he's not a skater, yeah? And he's like, oh, like, you should do that again, innit? Like, and just see what happens, innit? Because it was like, yeah, run it. And before, when we used to see, there used to be these videos, I think, it's going to piss me off because I can't remember the name, but there was these street videos, yeah? When they pull up on the ends and there's a rapper just starts spitting. Mm. I can't remember, like, but they're just hood videos. And we all have them, like, so it would be like, this is before SBTV and that.
Okay,
but in the SBTV style, pull up to a block and there'll be 100 men, one smiling.
Yeah.
One man's rapping. Then he just, first of all, he goes into the gangster tirade of like, no one can come here. I'm the hardest. Da, 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 da. So we're looking at it, we're like, rah, these men are actually vexed on their birthday. Like, it's funny. And the ends ain't really like that, innit? Like, we bust joke, innit? So I was like, rah, you know what? The video talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play this because this is all the jokes amongst us, you know, like, let's show it. So I know when people started it, because it starts with beef, we're like, you know what, Bashy, next time I see you, I'm going to punch you up. I'm going to lick off your head top. Like, we're on this mat, and Bashy's still like a artist, like a grime artist then, you know? And now it's like, it's controversial, and people are like, ah, Roadmen looking for Bashy. Like, that's the, it's all over the place. But then you get the reveal of me on skates doing this random skate off, you know? And it's like, then people are like, oh, like, that's a flip, you know? Because it looks like your typical bad boy video. A lot of people that went uni with me and stuff were like, oh, I thought KG went back to the roads. Because you see me in...
Wow.
Yeah, because it's like, they were confused. They saw me like, like I'm not involved in that life anymore. Yeah. And then the next time you see me, and I've told you I'm changed, I'm different. And now I'm doing some roting and a shot calling out Bashy. Then you see skates, you're like,
Yeah, well, that's credit to you to how well done it was, you know, and how, because obviously you're observing your own surroundings, and it's so naturalistic. But also what I was really impressed by, considering as well, this is 10 years ago, the majority of the videos were high production value.
You
know what I mean? It wasn't like you were shooting on your phones. I mean, you couldn't shoot your phones back then.
Yeah. It was high. And that was, I credit that to, Marston. He's the genius. Anyone asks me, I say, listen, Marston is, we are great together. Great when we worked, you know, but he's a genius.
What's he doing now, Marston?
He's writing. He wants to do more, but again, the game is not kind. Remember I say it's not nice. Yeah. Mm. The game's a liberty, you know, and I think what I've had to kind of get me through it is my wife and my faith, you know, like, because it takes, like, this game is horrible. This, like, I was like, this game will make you cry, like, because you want, like, you, so you've seen, as we're talking, and I'm telling you about shit that happened a year and a bit ago where people are telling me, I don't use the jungle words, mate, and do that and do this. And, like, for everything we've done, I shouldn't. The position that we have been in shouldn't be here. Now, I'm only enjoying everything recently. Like, I've had, like, now it's like, it's happening.
Yeah, you're on a roll.
Now I'm on a roll, but it's like, the game could have got rid of me, you know, if I didn't have this kind of determination and self, like, and support. You know, I've got, like, I've had people that have really been on my side. Like, I think I always say to people, like, especially when I see a man or a black man on TV or a black sister or whatever, I smile to myself because I'm like, you don't even know what that person's had to get through. Like, you were looking to, oh, that's not even funny, bro. Bro, do you know how many have tried and it doesn't work? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, watch it and just celebrate that person because it's not been easy, you know, to get through those doors and to get through those doors authentically, you know, like not having to do a madness, not having to act like embarrass yourself, you know. Doing it with some integrity and being here is credit because you don't get opportunities. It's only recently, like, I'm a shout out to a lot of people that have given me the shot. It's only recently someone asked me if you got any ideas for us. I'm like, I've had ideas for years, you know. Like, I would say to my missus, anyone in the game, I say, if you haven't cried yet, like twice in a year, just on a casual, on a standard, you're not even close to getting there. You know, like, yeah, you're not close at all. You know, and I think Marston, and I don't want to talk for him, but it's like he's just had the door slammed in his face, you know, like we both have, really. You know, and each one, it's not fair. It's almost, when the killer is, it's actually not fair, you know, like some people have done less. You know, when we go out on road, we get recognized. We've been on shoots. We shoot with my boys, Hayden and Jolly, and they'll attest to it. Like, this is in there. This is when they won a prime BAFTA, you know. But I think he has a BAFTA. Yeah. We're on a shoot, doing some hidden camera thing. People are stopping not to talk to them. They know us. They're like, ah, can we get this? They don't realize that, no, these guys are BAFTA award winners. Like, with us. And they're like, oh, like people love you. You know, like, and so it's almost we're recognized, people rate us for being funny, all these other things, but the door still is not open, you know, and I think that's a very difficult pill to swallow, you know. But I say to myself, for me, I can't give up. And like my wife, like Queen, like she's always told me, keep on going. You know, she's always literally, she's like, no, you can't stop now. You can't stop. Imagine what it feel like if you stop, and then, you know, like you will not be happy, you know?
And you mentioned your faith as well. How has your faith shaped you or helped you along the way?
It's changed. It's definitely changed the person I like. In that, my faith and my wife is linked together in it, because I was a bit of a bad boy early. You know, what can you do? I met my missus and she was like, "Oh man, like you want to come to my church?" I was like, "Church, all right." You know what I mean? But then, like some stuff, were like I just got into like a bit of trouble, and I was like, "Where?" It was life threatening type thing, and I was like, "Maybe I've got to try something different." You know. I started coming to a church and stuff, and that's where I actually picked up the mic to start stand up.
Okay.
I was doing some stuff for some kids, like, you know, like drama and stuff. Mm. So I'm teaching drama to these kids that look like me, like by bad ways as well. I'm trying to change, you know what I mean? And they still recognize me. They know who I am because I've done some stuff now. And I'm there, and they're like, oh, you know what? Before the play starts. So my first show was at Fairford Halls. They're packed out. Packed. Yeah. And they're like, oh, can you just entertain the crowd for like 10, 15 minutes? I think you'll be all right. Just warm them up. And then the show will start. So I was like, didn't realize I did stand-up, by the way. Starting penciling, like jokes that I could tell, little sketches I can do on stage. But then after it finishes, a lot of people are coming up to me like, Rob, like, you got comedy timing. Like, you ever thought about being a comedian? I'm like, even when I'm writing this shit, I'm like, I would love this. Like, can you imagine if this is my job? Mm-hmm. Not realizing this is stand-up, you know? And then, it was a lot of people coming up to me and saying, you're really good. And I'm talking packed Fairfield Halls. It's big. It's in Croydon. There's a lot of people in there. Killed it. And I was like, all right, I think I'm going to do this now, you know? Just being in that space, because I left all, like, even I told my boys, like, when I was going to change and stuff, I was like, usually if there's a fight or something's happening, I'd be in there, back in it, doing my thing. Yeah. When I switched it up, I told them, look, like, don't call me for that, because I can't, like, if you care about me, don't draw me into that, because I'm not on it no more. You know, my whole life's changed.
So even did they accept that, or did you have to let go of some of your friends along the way?
They had to, because it's not like I haven't, like, when it's been popping, it's not like I've moved. I've been involved in it. Like we fought together and stuff. So it's not like I'm scared now. I still want to do this, you know? And we've seen people that we grew up with go, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, they had to, you know? It's like, I remember talking to one of my boys and stuff, and I was like, we rep this thing, SW9, like the block and that, and we rep it. Like, it's like, this is our ends. Da, 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 da. But then I think I remember someone passing from the ends, not even one of my close friends, but I knew his mum. And like the man then would do a couple t-shirts in the beginning, RIP, you know, that the typical, like, it'll be a moment in the beginning.
Yeah.
But it was years after, I see the mum still suffering. The man and me gone with their lives, you know what I mean? And you've lost your life, like, for like an area, it's a council flat, innit? Like, you was put here, like, we rep it, but it's like, it's not like we own it. You know, like, we're not like farmers with like acres of land, and this is really my ends, like, don't come here. Like, and you'll just die and the next person comes, you know? So I'm fighting for SW9 and that. And it doesn't care, innit? Like, it's not gonna, like, my mum's gonna be the one that's left. The people that know me are the ones that are gonna be left. And it's usually the mums, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm seeing her, just looking at her and thinking, shit, like, it's not even real, innit? You know, like, you look at someone and say, because you can know what it's like. When you look at someone that's lost their child, it's different, you know? And at the time, we're just in here not realizing, but look in someone's eyes and it's like, that's shit. Like, I don't care. There's no t-shirt that can really show that pain of RIP thingy. And you move on, you know? Yeah. I was like, right, this is bullshit, really. You know, it's like, the next man is going to come. I go back to the ends now. Maybe some people will recognize me. Some people won't. But again, it's like, so all that work that you was, all that trying to rep and make sure that your ends is respected means nothing anyway, like, you know?
Mm.
So, and I, making that step was a good one. Because now when I go, like, when I do see the man them, because I bought my house now and stuff, I've done shit that I never thought I was going to ever do, you know? It's like, they're proud of me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, when I was going to eat, like, all my boys, and it's so funny, and luckily, like, I had a dad in it. Like, I have to rate him as well. Very important. Like, in the end, I think it was just out of my boys. Yes, it's me. Out of a team of, like, there was 7 or 8 of us, I was, there's 2 of us with dads at home, you know? And my dad was on it.
Right.
You know, yeah. He had to be. Yeah, because even though he's on it, I was still doing mad stuff. You know, but then it's like, I remember, that's it. I remember getting to, like, it was, so I have a dad, but I'm the only one that, we all go to college. All of my boys went to the same college. Everyone got kicked out and stopped going. I carried on, you know? And then it was like, finally, I spent, like, because I failed my GCSEs, yeah? It was time to go to, it's finally time to go to uni, yeah? And my boys were hurting because it was like, I remember one of my boys was, he's in a golf. He knows who he is as well, little dickhead. He goes, bro, if you go uni, you think you can buy a car like this? And remember, 8, we're young, innit? Yeah. And he's pushing a brand new Golf, like, car. I was like, I'm going, you know? Obviously, he got over himself. They don't want to see their friends go. And I was getting Birmingham, you know? But when I left, if you see the celebration, like, literally, we had cameras and then we're just out on the road in our whips. Like, and they celebrated me going on to do something like that. So now when we look, it was beautiful. Like, I don't even have the footage, but I remember, like, Mandem, I'm talking how the Shadrach video looks. Mandem, like, back, well done, see you later type of thing, you know? Yeah. And it's incredible. Even, and shout out to that guy as well, because even I remember when I was studying and I had to do evening GCSEs, he'd come and pick me up, like, come to Carl Shorten from Brixton, pick me up in the evening, drive me home, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been different people that have had my back. And when I've wanted to make these changes, they've kind of supported it, even though it's like losing a friend, you know? Like, yeah, it's dope. Like, when I think about it now, I'm like, oh, shit, man. That's kind of hard still. That's, yeah, I've been blessed. I've been blessed with some amazing people. They came at the right time. Faith-wise, when you ask that question, yes, anytime they close the doors, I was like, God's got a plan for me, you know? You know, like, there's even one of my mentors, and there's a guy that started a charity called Reaching Higher. White guy called Mark. Cool guy, yeah? 2 Marks, actually, but I just talk about the first one. 1 white, 1 black. Anyway, white guy called Mark saw me. I was hooded up back in the time and that, and he goes, oh, like, you're a leader. You're a leader. And I'm like, what's wrong with this white guy? Like, what's wrong with this year? Like, he goes, like, why are you that's the last thing I'm expecting to call me. And usually, like, I'm not really seen like that. So you doing that is weird, you know?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, he just believed in me and then mentored me and then told me that he knew I wasn't ready yet. I was too rough. I was rough cut. Like, I could have started working with the kids then.
Yeah.
But then he was working with me to work with the kids, you know? And I've just been really blessed with different people that have come into my life at the right time. And had it not gone to this church and stuff, I wouldn't even actually be doing stand-up. I wouldn't have done all the stuff that I've done, you know? And I wouldn't have, the pitfalls of the game, I probably would have fell victim to. So, yeah, I'm blessed, innit?
It's amazing if some people just come into your life just at the right times. And just like point you in the right direction.
Yeah.
I had said to you, I had that even like a minus sort of a smaller level when we're talking about Jeff Schumann. I used to present on Bang FM in Holsden, and he was doing the breakfast show. And I had this sort of like, they put me in this sort of, I don't know, some obscure clock slot. Mm. And he was like, we're saying, you know, you got something to say, you got something to say. You bring me in to sit on the show, I'd come in and just things like that. Well, people just sort of spot something in you.
Yeah.
You know, they're just motivate you and encourage you. It goes a long way.
And that's what, and that's literally in my thing when I meet people, because I've been blessed like that, I always try. So if I meet someone, I'm like, you can do it. You know, you've got greatness. Everyone's got greatness inside them. Yeah. But it just might mean someone to tell them, you know, you can do it. And there's nothing, I don't think there's anything special about me. You know, I just, what is it? I'm determined though. Yeah. I think that's one of my, I'm determined. Like, I will not give up. Like, never, you know? But that's it. Yeah. You know?
But you're super positive as well. You know, you've got that. You've got that sort of to just keep going and going and going.
You've got a goal. So but important. Then you've got a gift. The funny thing is, we all are like, how we got our fingerprints are unique to us, isn't it? So you're different and special. I am. You know, and I'm the best person at being me, but you're the best at being you in it. Now you have something to offer.
Yeah.
Period. You know, and a lot of times that messaging, and that's why, like, when I talk to young people and stuff, I'm like, you can do it. You know, like, I was literally failing. I failed, you know, but now even it's so funny with like English, I retook English spare times. I finally got a C, but it's like a low. Like, I don't know if it's a high C or low C. I got a C anyway. Okay. But I'm not an English writer. My English teacher would wet themselves if they knew that I write sketches that go on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
They're on TV. Like, I'm a writer. That doesn't make any sense. Like, but that goes to show then that anything is possible, you know, because there's some people that have a better grasp of the English language that probably could write better than me. But I know it's funny. You know?
Yeah, and also I think it's important to say that there's so many different forms and ways that you can get an idea onto a page. You might not be the person that has, like you said, the perfect grammar or whatever. You could write your phones. I mean, this is what I do a lot of the time. I have ideas. I dictate them into my phone. I record them. Mm. And then you can pair up with somebody else who is that way more inclined than you're the ideas guys. There's so many different ways. And now with YouTube, et cetera, it's freed up in a way. It's like democratized the whole thing in a sense.
Yeah. And luckily, because we've always freestyled, like, you put us on the set, yeah. We're like, we have a skeleton that we want to do. And then we just freestyle and get there, you know? Yeah, so it's like, this is the beginning point. This is the end point. Get there, try and get there quick, but make it funny. That's how me and Marston did everything. So now I've had to learn these new techniques, and not doing it with Marston is almost, because he would be the one that puts the skeleton together. But then when we get on there, we'll just freestyle. Now it's me doing the skeleton, but I'm like, I have to convince myself, you know, you can do it though, bro. Like, you are like, you can do this shit. Like, you know what's funny. Like, you've been doing it for years.
Because that's hard at first, isn't it? Like, it's quite daunting when you have had, like, a partner that you've been collaborating with and you know that they're very, very good at this thing and you usually do this thing. Suddenly you're like, oh, shit, this is all on me now.
Yeah. It's scary, but then you just remind yourself, no, you've done this shit before. Like, that's what you're doing when you're freestyling. Like, you're just you do it. It's just not down on paper. So all that stuff's in you. You've got to encourage yourself to know that you can, you know, on your first one, it might be a bit, it will get better, you know? And it's dope. It's dope. And then that's why I've done, even I've got the, me and Travis worked together. We had a radio show. We're doing a lot, actually, stuff together. So we got a boxing podcast called Undefeated.
Yeah.
And we've done that. And that came from being in a car, going to a comedy show. And then we had great chemistry, you know, we just talking and people were like, right, you should be on radio together. Like, you got sick. And then, then we just, one morning, I just, 2 years ago, I called Travis and I was like, bro, we're dickheads, you know? And he goes, what's wrong? I goes, the fact that we're not working together, like, we don't have something out is a crime, you know? And then he's like, I said, I've got an idea, let's do it. And he's like, let's go. And that was one of the greatest ideas we've done. We sat down with boxing legends, you know, and
I know Travis has been on the podcast and I've been, obviously I follow him and I've always seen, you know, bits of the podcast appear. And then I remember seeing Lennox Lewis, right?
Imagine.
Lennox Lewis. And I was like, whoa, okay, they're now moving.
Mad thing, you know, and it was like a lot of press clippings, a lot of all these things just happened. Yeah. Off the back of the Lennox thing. So again, like, I wouldn't change, as hard as it's been, I wouldn't change nothing. Because okay. Now, like, again, I respect and understand the game. I'm here to stay in it. You know, like, I will be here. Like, after how many years, but I'm going to be here. No matter who comes in, I'm still going to be here. Because I have been. You know, like the same way how I grafted out in college, you know, and it's just been long of, I will still be here no matter what. And then I will have that moment of finally, like, almost not being given your just dues, but yeah, like that. But then at the same time, I play that. I hope my plan is to bring up as many people as I can in my time, in my era, in my time, you know. And again, shout out to Mo the Comedian for doing that thing of the Black comics. Because again, that story hasn't been told on the main stage by someone.
Dude, the Black British hot. And Funny Show.
Black British and Funny Show. Far, like,
yeah.
That was like, I've got a lot of respect for him pulling that move off. Because again, a lot of people, you never get that. When you're in charge, yeah, because everyone's afraid, and I say people who don't care, you kind of want to hold that space to yourself. Like, you, and Reggie, I'm not accusing Reggie Yates of doing this, not at all, but. Usually there's only one. There can only be one. It's like it's like the Sith Lord and what do you call it? It's like the Star Wars where literally like there's only one. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? It's the Sith Lord and the Apprentice, bro. So I don't know. Who's it been? Lenny Henry, Sith Lord, Reggie Yates, Apprentice. You know what I mean? And then now it's Mo. But Mo was like, no, there's more. There's a whole group of us who exist here, and people in the power position don't ever do that. So ratings to him, because we need more of that so it becomes normal, you know?
And you saying that you want to do the same and bringing people up, that to me then connects with what that person pointed out in you all those years ago, saying that you're a leader.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Mate, raw.
See, that's what a leader does, isn't it? They help others up as well.
Yeah. It's so key, man. It's like we can't be in each other's way, or and it comes back. It's, there's a lot of stuff that I just link to, like colonialism and all this bullshit. Do you know what I mean? Now, where we see each other as, I have to get you out of the way to make it, you know, like where I don't know what your thing is when you see it, like another white comedian, you're like, oh. Like, I don't know if you feel like I need to battle you to get this one spot, but we know there's one, you know. I was telling something about when we went for a show on BBC many years ago, and they was like, oh, we're going to see how this other black show does. And then if it's good, you lot can have yours. It's like, what? You know, like.
Yeah, there can only be one. There can't be two existing.
So, exactly. So, naturally, now I know in my head, I can't support my brother coming up. I have to fight him because he's in my way.
Right. So it's almost, you know, being, I mean? Like unconsciously ingrained in you because of their attitude.
That's their attitude. There can only be one. Mm. I want to be the one. You know, like I want to be the one. I'm struggling. Same way he's struggling. My story's real to me. Like, I'm going through it. It needs to be me because there's so much on the line, and all of us have so much on the line. Yeah. You know, but then they say, no, actually, guys, that's not true. And we don't even need to go this way.
I feel that that is a knock-on effect that's happening in other forms of entertainment as well. If you just look at grime, for instance, the way that has exploded and finally come into the mainstream, I feel like artists are kind of like, okay, there's room for all of us rather than just a couple of us, where back in the day that was not the case.
It was not the case. But again, like, and we're like the grimes, like, I would call it, I don't want to say hood comedy or just black comedy and stuff, but I feel like UK-wise, we're Grimes' little brother, you know?
Yeah.
But I hope that we get to enjoy, like, the skeptics of, you know, as one of the older, I'm like, people say that we're the godfathers of this thing. So
the Wiley, like, the Wiley of comedy.
I kind of don't want to have a Wiley moment. A
no,
Wiley.
Shit. I just realized.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Yeah, I'll retract that comment.
No, but yeah,
I'll just edit it out.
No, they call us that. No, they call us that. No, don't edit this out. Keep that shit in there. Yeah. But then it's almost, they call us the godfathers of this thing. But I hope we have godfather money. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
not like, we're not gonna be like the Big Daddy Canes of the shit. Don't say, not saying that Big Daddy Kane ain't got peas, but he hasn't got JC money in it. You know what I mean? Like, so yes, sir, we're the early people that did it, or the KRS ones. I don't want KRS ones to be like, I'm fine, I've got money, bro. But you know what I mean? I don't want to be those. We want to have them what they have.
Yeah, you want that that mainstream success and everything that comes with that.
Exactly,
because that's what you deserve.
That's right, yours.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Also, I think what's really cool about, you know, when you get into this, you're a Man United fan, right?
Love Man United.
Right. Would you ever have thought when you were doing your Shadrach sketches, that eventually one day you would be hosting, you know, the United Stand,
which is the
official Man United channel podcast.
Well, no,
right?
It's not official for Man United. It's a fan channel. So it's a fan channel, but it's massive.
It's massive, and you're the co-host of that. So it's like one of your big passions. You've turned into part of your job.
Funny. It's so nah. Like, what's jokes? I talk about Man United for free. Yeah, and the funniest thing about this thing, and shout out Flex, Mark Goldbridge, the whole team, Joy, big up yourself. I remember meeting Flex at a game, and I think Tottenham, we played Tottenham and we lost and I was furious. Because I didn't want to go. Like, I knew I was going to lose. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a long drive out. London Mancunian fans, Man United fans, they're laughed at a lot in it, But the commitment, like, if I go to a game, by the time I get home, it's 3 o'clock, like 2 o'clock in the morning. If it's a late evening game, like, it's... I could travel somewhere and come home faster. Do you know what I mean? As into another country and be back. So it's commitment. Anyway, I'm pissed. I meet Flex. We do our thing. And then Flex has interviewed me and the interview's gone all over. Like, it's gone kind of viral. And then the guy was like, wait. He messaged me and goes, are you Shadrach? Because he saw in the comment section, people were like, swear down. Shadrach, a lot of people don't even know. On the United Stand now, they don't even know who I am. Like, as in, all the shit that I've done.
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm just a crazy Man United fan, you know?
But I saw, so I went onto the YouTube channel on one of the recent United Stand clips that you were in.
Yeah.
And then there were comments underneath. Is that Shadrach? But not just one. There was quite a few. So it's like all your different tentacles of work are all sort of fusing together.
It's fusing together. So that's the greatest thing about United Stand. Again, it's like 958,000 subscribers. It's massive.
Yeah.
Getting close to a million. And the view, it's around the world. Like, you got people, Zimbabwe, India, Canada, Faroe Islands, people all over the place are watching, plus the local lads. So it's been brilliant for my exposure.
Yeah.
You know, like, people are now going backwards and saying, oh my God, look at all the shit that he's done. Yeah. Like, you know, and that's great for me. That's awesome. You know, so now it's like, finally, and that's what I say about things coming together. Finally, the recognition is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And then the work is going to, I can do more. You know, like, if now I'm in a TV show, my following's growing, I can promote that shit. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't do, like, all that, all this stuff's now happening, and it makes me more stronger when I'm in a room, you know, with whoever's deciding, what can this guy do? I can do a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's dope. I can't believe I'm on that channel, but shout out United, let's go.
I was going to talk to you about boxing, but I feel like we could go forever, but I'm going to ask you quickly because, you know, undefeated, etc. Who do you want to see? AJ Fury, AJ Wilder?
Good question. It has to be AJ Fury first. I want to see that. I'd love to see AJ win just because, like, he's Nigerian, isn't it? I love to see AJ win. I think it'll be cool. He's a big inspiration for me. You know, just watching what he's done, what he's achieved in the game is beautiful. You know, like and he again same mantra, trying to lift people up. And dude, don't get me wrong, I think Fury's a excellent fighter. I think he's probably the most skilled heavyweight in this new era. No one can fight like him. You know, but that's like what AJ, I think the AJ message is a powerful one. You know, it speaks to young kids, you know, and that there's, you can do stuff. You can do all sorts of stuff. So I like what the message does. But again, for the traveler community, they'll say, probably say the same about Fury, because they are quite looked down upon and stuff like that. But again, what's it? Apples and oranges, isn't it? Like, true, for me, I understand what the beacon at AJ is, you know. And yeah, I think he's achieved some amazing things, you know, and it it helps, you know. Honor to America. Like my daughter, I told my daughter Kamala Harris got elected as vice president. Never been a female vice president who's biracial. Well, call her black in my home. Yeah. I said, my daughter, look, there's a black woman there. Like you can do anything. And she's like, her face, she's four. And then this means you can do cool things in the future. And she literally, I say, oh, babes, there's a black, what do you call it? What does that mean for you? She's like, I can do cool things in the future.
That's amazing.
You know?
Yeah, you're seeing that firsthand, the positive impact that it has.
There you go. Yeah. You know, it's like that thing of, and that being able to aspire and see things different. And luckily TV's changing in that perspective where you can see, you can achieve things. That's not far away. Like now I know Skepta and all their men have done it, but what Michael Dapper's done in the game, it opens doors because now people are going to say, well, we can't just let these lot have the, we can't just let Michael Dapper have the views independently. Who's going to get the next one? So when Monya showed up, everyone wants him. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Because there's bags of Monyas and stuff. I'm not saying what he does, not talented. He's very talented, but I'm saying that talent exists, is there, but it's untapped. You know, so hopefully, and that's AJ. I believe he does that for many kids, you know.
Yeah, he's definitely a role model. Great. I'm going to ask you a few more questions before we wrap things up. What do you do outside of work? I know, obviously, you're a young father, you're a family man, but what do you do outside of your creative career to unwind and relax and take your mind off work?
What do I do?
COVID aside, obviously.
COVID aside, I watch, it depends. If I'm trying to be a good husband, I watch trash TV of my missus. Like, trash, we love it. Like, me and her watching Love Island online, the US version.
Okay.
Yeah, so that kind of trash. Like, relationship shows.
Okay.
Yeah. I love, like, I ain't gonna lie. I don't want to call it trash TV because it's people watching, innit? You get to see how people react.
Yeah.
So I love it. I watch stuff like that. Then my favorite, if it's just me downtime, any film with a long sword or series. So Vikings, Lord of the Rings.
The long sword.
If I see a long sword and I see a horse riding into battle, I'm watching it. But then it, like, I now can tell the different levels of, like, the shit ones, innit?
Yeah.
But my dream is one day, like, to be...
To ride a horse with a sword?
Not just... I need to be in one of those movies.
Okay, yeah.
But it's very difficult because I feel like people don't think black people were there when those wars were happening because you never see them. Like, there's not a black person in Braveheart, but it should have been one.
Yeah. It's like, this is not the same at all, but I remember that story that Arnold Schwarzenegger says about when he's tried to break and become an actor. It's like, everyone in Hollywood is like, no, you're Austrian. No, we can't have someone with your accent. And then he became barbarian, you know? Because, obviously, it's because he's so built, etc. He got that.
Yeah.
But it seemed like so obscure to have someone like him as a Hollywood leading man at that time because there wasn't people that looked like him in those roles, you know?
This is it. Even I was seeing...
Or sounded some, like him.
Someone sounded... It's like that thing about... So I've always wanted to be in Game of Thrones, innit? Yeah. But then it's like... I remember saying, I was like, oh, that's not really realistic though, innit? It's like, bro, there's fucking dragons in this show. and what you call it? Fucking wolves. And me, a black man with a long sword, is not realistic. Piss off, bruv. Like, I can easily be in the show. I don't have to be from Davos. Like, I can be from the north. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I'm hoping in this, it's changing. I'm watching a lot of different shows. There's another show on Netflix right now. It's like It's like a Downton Abbey. It's written by Shonda Rhimes. I don't know what it's called, but there's black people in it. There's quite a few, and I think that's so cool. I don't know what it's called. It's a period drama, but there's mad blacks in it. I'm like, yeah. That gives me a bigger chance. I can get it. But yeah, I watched that and Star Wars. I'm a Star Wars fiend.
Okay.
Yeah, all of it. Cartoons, all of it.
Okay.
Let's watch TV.
And do you exercise or...
Peloton.
You in the Peloton game? Okay.
Okay. I got a Peloton. My goal for this year, because I'm like 19 stone, I'm heavier than Anthony Joshua. That's unacceptable. So I hope to become 18 stone and go to Zara one day. I'm not joking.
Why Zara?
Because I just always wanted to go there. Like, it's just... Like Zara's is that skinny, they got nice clothes in it.
The skinny, are you gonna wear the skinny jeans like in King Gary?
I just shout out Tom Davis as well,
which obviously you featured in,
Nicely done.
Are you a reader?
Love my books, that's how I stay positive.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you, are there any books over the years that stand out to you that have had an impact on you in your life?
Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Oh yeah,
that's Rich Dad Poor Dad. I think that was, I needed that, just for the poverty mindset type thing that I had. Richest Man in Babylon, those are the self-help
that's
books.
A great book.
Those are the self-help books. Then I would say it's documentaries. So I watched this thing, something called We Are Together. It's like it's about the Agape Youth Choir in South Africa.
Okay.
So I watched that because I went to do some charity work in Bolivia like for 3 months. I was working with some kids.
Is that recently?
A couple of years back now.
Okay,
you know?
Brilliant.
I love young people and stuff. Like, so when it's so crazy. So in the background of doing all this stuff, I work with kids in care. So I've done that, I still do it now, but I'm a consultant. But I mentor young people that are in foster homes, basically. Yeah, but it's even doper now because I'm doing shit, you know? So they're like, look what my mentor's doing. So I'm not just chatting shit and saying you can achieve these things. Like, it's real.
Proper inspiring.
It's real.
Yeah.
You know, it's real. Like, look, and some people say I was a loser, you know, before. Mm. And now look what I'm doing, you know? And it's very powerful with young people when they see likes. I don't know why, but they like it. So
For sure.
Yeah, just being it, mixing it with these people. And I'm like, look, I'm just like you. Me and you are the same. Like, we've had tough childhoods, but anything is possible, you know? So
I love that. I love that. Final question I'm going to ask you, KG. What does the idea of balance mean to you or not?
The idea of balance, I would like more. So balance to me is, I like more balance because I feel like I'm just all over the place. But I do listen to myself. I listen to my body. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if I know that too much is happening, I will literally, my wife will give me the space. Just get into the room and just chill by myself. I just need to be by myself. And in my room watching my stuff. A Long Sword movie, that's when it's going to come. Like, if I'm really I need time, it's Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I'm going to sit there, Return of the King. That's me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Might be Two Towers. Yeah. And then I'm ready to go. Okay, I'll read. Zone out. You know, and they'll let me do it because I'm like that. I will give so much of myself. So certain times I just need a little recharge, you know? But that part I'm good at noticing. And then, I forgot to say this, but this was key. I think when everyone was having their moments, like the Michael Dappers, the Moles and stuff, and it wasn't going well for me, I remember, like, and this is when my faith was a bit challenged because people were passing left and right around me and stuff. And I stopped believing, because I know you asked me about my faith. Not like I stopped believing, but like a lot of shit was happening. I was like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah. And then I remember looking at my counterparts, and it's just, I had a bitterness that I never had before.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I just didn't like the person that I was without my faith. So I needed it back, because I was like, I'm not that person. I like when everyone wins. And it was for the first time, I was not happy. Like, I'd go on, I'd scroll on Instagram and I'd be seeing shit. I'm like, and I don't, that's not my natural, that's never, like, you could never put those two together.
Yeah.
But I felt that. So I do know that I'm a better person. And now, as I was saying to my missus, when I was like, I can't even think like that again. So I'm a better person with my faith, because without it, I'm that person that is looking at other people, forgetting that my gifts will make room for me. You know, my gift is special, you know, and that's like a, from my faith, you know, without that, I become how all the everyone else in the game feels, you know. So yeah, I just remember that just now. Sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's super important, isn't it? To be able to pull yourself back when you have those moments. And you're only human. It's natural to have that. But
I've never had that, though.
Right, okay.
I've never looked at someone else and been like, oh, you're in my way. Or like, you, everything you're doing, even like whatever you're doing with, I don't know how much you told people about like your production stuff, but I'm happy for you, bro. You know what I mean? And like, that's important. You know, like, why not? Like, that's good. You know,
I'm the same. Yeah. I feel like there's enough to go around.
Just,
and the only competition is with myself.
That's right.
At the end of the day, as a cliche as that sounds, that's kind of the way
it's
I look
not
at
cliche,
it.
Bro.
I at the beginning when I started doing stand up, there was definitely, because I'm a competitive person. You know, I like to, I do sports, whatever. And there was an element that carried through with me, but I did quickly learn to drop that, and it wasn't just about other people, what they were doing. It was just I focus on myself.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, when we do shows, like if me and Travis and everyone go to a show, I want the crowd to laugh at my so it's not like I want to kill it. It's not that, like, I'm just saying that, but we all have to be at our best in it.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, that's important. But it's like, you're not gonna stop what I'm trying to do.
Mm.
Or I'm not gonna stop what you're trying to do. Like, and I think some people just want to be the only one.
Let's
not get into that again.
Yeah. All right. It's been great talking to you, man. Thank you. It's been super inspiring. It's so good to hear your whole journey, and you know how you've got to where you've got to. I think a lot of people are gonna really respond to it. Where can people find out? Where's the best place for people to find out what you're up to?
I'm on the United Stand. I'm in a show called Ted Lasso. I'm in a show called Bloods. It's like the for Sky. It's a comedy series. It's a big role for me. So shout out to me. Undefeated as well. There's everywhere. Literally, come on my YouTube channel. Come on my YouTube channel, KGTHA Comedian, and it'll point me to everywhere you need to go.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, KG. Thanks so much, man.
Peace, man. Big up yourself. Perfect.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.